This is for today, and welcome to Declare Victory. Are there any first-time callers that might have joined? Excuse me, I'm going too quickly. Are there any first-time callers this morning?
My name is Catherine, yes.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My name is Catherine.
Oh, hi, Catherine. You're the first time. This is the first time you called, huh?
Yes,
first time. What is your last name?
Webster.
Pardon me?
Webster.
Webster. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're so glad that you joined us, and we know that you'll be blessed. And your last name is W-E-B-S-T-E-R?
Yes.
Okay, Catherine, welcome.
Are there
any other first-time callers?
Well, I just wanted to say I didn't announce your prayer request, and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. This is JC.
Oh, was that Catherine Webster that had a prayer request?
No, I announced her prayer request. I'm saying yours, Susie.
That's okay. That's okay, hon.
Okay.
Well, we welcome you, Catherine, and again, we know that you'll be blessed with our call. Declare Victory has an app where you can submit your prayer requests. We really encourage you to download the app and submit your requests that way. This way, it will help decrease the traffic we are experiencing with the amount of prayer requests we receive during the greeting time. Information on the app can be found in the Victory Room, or you can ask a friend. Today is Thankful Thursday, and it's a day set aside to remind people just how thankful you are for them. Feel free to share your stories regarding this in the Victory Room. You are invited to join our separate men and women's calls on their new night, Men of Value Everywhere, and Walk It Out will be held tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, I'm still seeing that they're still announcing for the fundraiser for the Painting with Purpose that was going to be on December the 12th at 6 p.m. That day has passed. I do not know if that happened or not. But there will be more information that we can find on the flyer in the Victory Room. And tickets will be available on the website or bit.ly.com/paintingwithpurpose if it has not. The online prayer requests, I have been having problems with my computer this morning, so I'm hoping that I got them all, and I might have be saying another one again that was already said. So I'm going to go ahead and start with Resilient Rosanna, asking for prayer for Candace Lamon, and she's asking to please pray for Candy and her husband. Candy has been enduring years of mental and emotional abuse. Although her husband hasn't hit her, he is violent, punching holes in walls, throwing things, destroying their house. She doesn't know how much more she can endure. She said that his actions don't remotely reflect those of a Christian that he claims to be. He accepts the responsibility for nothing, yet blames others for everything. We've lost touch for over 30 years, yet she has reached out to me asking specific prayer for her, so I'm asking my DV family to be in prayer with me for her. Thank you. And I think that was said yesterday. I apologize. And then Diane Templeton is asking for prayer for Betty Williams. Betty was diagnosed with the C word, and the doctors have given up on her and sent her home. Let us pray, cry out to God interceding on Betty's behalf. And Dorothy Carter was diagnosed. Dorothy was diagnosed with having lesions on her pancreas and kidneys. Let us bombard heaven, interceding on Dorothy's behalf for God's healing. Thanks, Victory Family. And Resilient Rosanna is asking for prayer for herself. She is asking for prayer that she has studied her microeconomics and calculus well enough to pass a class with A's today. And that is all that I see. Again, I apologize if I did repeat some. My computer's not being good today. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Michelle. Decoration by our wonderful Tanya. Prayer warrior number one will be Patty Caldwell. Prayer warrior number two will be Deborah Yvonne. Prayer warrior number three will be E.K. Dawson. And closing us out today will be Denise Nollismith. And I'll repeat that. Scripture by Michelle. Declaration by Tanya. Prayer warrior number one, Patty Caldwell. Prayer warrior number two, Deborah Yvonne. Prayer warrior number three, E.K. Dawson. And closing us out today will be Denise Nollismith. Please do not forget to mute your lines. You can use your standard mute button on your phones, or you can use star 6. This is used for the continuity of the call where there will not be any interruptions. So I thank you all. I give you love, and God bless you as I pass the call. And have a wonderful, wonderful day. I pass the call to Michelle for scripture.
Good morning, everyone. I'm coming to you today from Romans 15, 4 through 5. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught and the scriptures and encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and the doers of his word. Everyone have a beautiful, blessed day. Erica, happy birthday as I pass the call.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning? This is a great, crisp Thursday morning, December the 17th. My aunt, her birthday is today, as well as my niece. I know they're not on the call. It's just my family has this weird thing. We have so many of us are born on each other's birthdays. It's amazing. It's like 15 or so. It's just super crazy, but my aunt, I learned, suffered a stroke, so we are asking you all to, her name is Joyce Walker, my dad's baby sister, so if we could lift her up in prayer as well. I want to go ahead and get started. I'm just doing a little talking just to make sure that the sound is loud enough for you guys to hear, I want to go ahead and get started with the declaration. Now, it's going to be a little different. I have my my imagination was going this morning, you guys, so I pray that you're blessed by my story. The title of my declaration is Scandal. S-C-A-N-D-A-L, Scandal. Not with Olivia Pope and all those folks. This is another little scandal that I want to talk to you about. JoJo spent several weeks researching costs, drawing diagrams, and talking to potential subcontractors so that he could put the final touches on the bid proposal he submitted to his prospective client. As nervous as he was, he never let them see him sweat during any of the negotiations, despite the fact that he felt like he was chewing cotton accented with peanut butter. With peanuts in it. And his stomach was in knots, sweetie. I'm telling you, the boy's stomach was all knotted and twisted up, but you would have never known it. Thank God for the Perrier sparkling water that accompanied the breakfast spread in their exquisitely decorated conference room of his potential client. But he dare not eat, given the way his stomach was all knotted up. The second best thing that ever happened to him occurred yesterday when he learned that he was awarded the job for one of the largest companies in the Bay Area. His father, David, would have been so proud of him, God rest his soul. David was an amazing creator of things himself. He came from a line of people that were self-starters, self-motivated, and didn't wait for things to happen. They made things happen. All of that hard work paid off the revenue from this project was going to put him in a very comfortable position financially, and it was going to give him the credibility he needed as a self-employed businessman, in spite of his young years, not to mention the street creds he was going to get from his partners. He could hardly wait to tell them, but that could wait until Friday night when he was scheduled for his standing appointment at the shop. He even decided to indulge and make an appointment with Mei Ling to get his feet cured. He refused to call it a pedicure. You know, he had finally gotten over the fact that he refused to believe that pedicures were for women. But he was getting his feet cured because he stood on his feet all day, he worked hard, and this was a way for him to pamper himself a little bit. And Mei Ling knew exactly what to do. You want your net on? Anyway, as he lay in bed with his mind racing, as he tossed and turned, he recaptured the events of the day as he critiqued himself, as he recalled his disposition, his body language, what he said, when he said it, and the response he received. Was it a dream? He got up, went to the table, looked at the contract. No, that was real. His signature was on there. It was real. Surely it had to be. This was unbelievable. He looked at the clock and closed his eyes in disbelief. It was 2:15 a.m. He had been up all night, and at this point, he was wired, but he knew he needed to get some sleep. He felt his eyes burning, and he was developing a tension headache on the lower right side of his neck that was slowly creeping its way up the back of his head, which was a sign that he was exhausted, but there was nothing that he could do. He could not fall asleep. He was tempted to go get some NyQuil and drink a couple of shots of NyQuil, but he knew he would be too tired in the morning, so he ruled that out. He thought about drinking some warm milk, but he had never tried that before, and besides, it would probably make him get up sooner than he wanted to. He thought to himself, if he magically fell asleep right now, he would have 3 hours before he had to get up to do his devotion and then get ready for work. But that was wishful thinking, at least the falling asleep part right now, instantly. He'd done everything that he could to try to fall asleep, and he couldn't. His body was far too wired, and his thoughts were all over the map. I mean, they jumped from Egypt to Africa to Hawaii to the hood to China. I mean, they were all over the map. He gave himself some depth for how he handled the situation, but still, the whole thing was unsettling. The first best thing that ever happened to him was when his life changed after Mariska said yes when he proposed to her. Her father wasn't happy about the engagement because he knew that JoJo's family had a tainted past. I mean, you know, between, you know, auntie, great-great-grandma Tamar, her daughter Rahab, and, well, Ruth wasn't bad. She had some amazing stuff going on with her, but, you know. And then there was Uriah's wife, man. Between those people alone, not to mention the men in the family, you know, and everybody knew about it. He wanted to prove to Mariska's dad that he was different. You know, he hadn't done any of the things that his previous relatives had, but still, you know, even with his father David, that whole thing that went down him and stuff. You know, it's just like, people wouldn't let their past go. But JoJo made a decision that he was gonna live a life, a low key life, that was pleasing to God. Didn't matter what other people thought, his age or whatever. He was gonna live a life that was pleasing to God, and so far, he had, except that, you know, again, people wouldn't let his past die, or at least that of his forefathers. It wasn't necessarily him. He'd gone to trade school, gotten his certification. He could have gone to college, and he did actually take some courses in blueprinting and design. He just felt like the creativity that he had was so dope that, you know, he was answering questions that the instructors couldn't answer because he had learned from the best of the best. He had an amazing line of developers and architects and stuff like that. So he had learned from them, and he decided to, one semester shy now of getting his degree, he decided to drop out of college. Can you believe that? Because of a couple of projects that he had gotten. Mariska, though, had talked him into going back to school and getting his degree because she knew that his degree would open doors for him that he wouldn't be able to get without the degree. And with all of the work that he had going on, he made a decision to start school at the beginning of the new semester, which was just in a few months. Anyway, I don't want to get off the beaten path. I want to get back to JoJo's inability to fall asleep. And I started off telling you about the best thing that had ever happened to him. Mariska, she said yes. They were all excited. You know, she was a little younger than him, but she was a well-rounded, intellectually sound woman with purpose, passion, and she loved God with all of her heart, mind, and soul. They had set the date, picked the flowers, the tuxedos. He even went with her to pick out the china and the silverware. Though he didn't understand why plates, saucers, forks, and knives cost so much. It was crazy. He was glad he wasn't paying for it. I mean, if she really would have wanted it, he would have bought whatever that girl wanted because he loved her just that much. And he was determined to make her happy. But anyway, she said it was a gift registry and that when people got ready to buy gifts for them for the wedding, they wouldn't have to guess and get them some old crazy stuff that they didn't want. They could just go to the bridal registry and, you know, that made sense to him, but the costs were astronomical, whatever. His baby deserved the best. His sweet Mariska. Well, something told him to lay down and close his eyes. And he obeyed like a humble little child. He quickly fell into a deep, peaceful sleep. He felt his body relaxing as he slipped into that deep, sweet sleep. He was almost there. It seemed as if he knew he was asleep because he couldn't move. But it seemed as if he was floating on water. It was amazing. But at the same token, he felt as if he was still awake. As he slipped further and further into the sleep, he felt himself slipping into a state of dreaming. He felt himself relax. Every fiber in his body was relaxed at this point. It almost felt as if there were soft, stern hands massaging his neck as he laid on his stomach. He was a stomach sleeper. And he felt the tension being relieved as he felt the hands manipulate his neck ever so gently, but with just the right amount of pressure. He felt the tension from his eyes dissipating because his eyes were burning originally, but the burning sensation was slowly leaving. He felt a coolness over his eyes, and simultaneously as he felt his neck being manipulated, the tension started to dissipate. It worked its way backwards from the back of his head, working its way down, just past the ears, past the earlobe, almost gone, to the base of his skull, and now his neck. All of the tension was gone. He breathed in and out. Now, he knew he was asleep. He couldn't move a muscle. Was he dreaming? Oh, my God. And then he heard someone speak to him in the dream. Joseph, son of David. Oh, my God, I'm out of time. We're going to have to pick it up next week as I pass the call off to whoever is leading us in prayer.
Good morning, Father. We come to you this morning, and we thank you for a brand new day, Lord, that you've given to each one of us, Lord. And I thank you for each one of us who were able to get up on the, and get on the call this morning to start our day off with you, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, of being able to come to you freely and pray to you, Lord God. And we'd just like to start off first by saying happy birthday to Erica Evans, Lord, and giving her another day, another year, Lord God, that she's made it through. We thank you for that, Lord God, and we ask that she have a blessed day today, Lord God. And we'd like to thank you also for Dan, Lord, for you, Lord, opening the doors for him, he and his wife, to find a new place for them to live, Lord God. We thank you for answering our prayers, Lord, and his prayers. And we'd like to thank the entire PFBC family and the Declare Victory family for praying for him and keeping them lifted up at this time, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord God, for your answers of the prayers, Lord. And we also would like to pray for Denise, Lord, whose rehab will be closing down, for everyone to find a new location, to be able to find a new location. We lift that up to you, Lord God, and we thank you in advance for each one of them that will be able to continue their rehab, Father. Excuse me. We pray for Sister Julia right now, Lord, as she's lifting up Karen Johnson, who has been diagnosed with the C word, Father God. We ask, Lord God, that you step in where it needs to be, Lord, and we ask that you be with her during this time and her family and everyone who is affiliated with her, Father. I ask that you would just be with her and her family, Lord. And we also pray for Sister Julia and herself and also for her family, Lord God. We lift them up to you and the Declare Victory family, the entire family, Lord. We ask that you would continue to be with each one of us, Lord, and whatever our prayer requests are that weren't spoken out loud, I ask that you be with each one of them, Father God. And we pray for Susie as she's and Rick as they're going through the morning with the family, Lord God. And we pray, Father, that you would be with them as they're going to begin traveling. They're going to be going to Idaho soon and then either Alaska or Oregon. But we pray as they travel to these places, Lord, that you would give them safe travels as they start on their trip, Lord. But for most part, I ask that you would just comfort the family right now, Lord God. All who are involved with her father-in-law, we pray that you would just, or her mother-in-law, I'm sorry, I pray that you would just be with them, Lord God, and that you would give them an extra dose of comfort right now, Lord. And, Father, I pray that you would be with, I forgot to thank you for bringing Catherine Webster to our line, Lord God. And we thank you that she's with us. I ask that she would be blessed as she's on this call, Lord God. And I ask, Lord God, that you would be with Kayla Dawn, her daughter, as she's going to be traveling, I believe, to Atlanta for the holidays. Father God, I pray that you would be with her. This would be her first time doing this by herself. So I ask that you would give her safe travels to Atlanta. And also she brought up her financial situation, that she would be able to live on her own, Lord God. So I pray for the job that she has or is needing to get to do that, Lord God, that you would just bless her. But I pray that you would give her a safe trip. I ask that you would give her a safe trip from wherever she lives, I think Dallas, to Atlanta. We pray for that, and I ask that she'd have a blessed time while she's there visiting family. Father, I also like to lift up Carol. I ask, Lord God, that you would allow her to please feel better, Lord God, and that you would just give her the strength that she needs, Lord, that you would put your healing hand just right now on her body, Lord, and that you would allow her to feel better, Father. And JC, whose father is 81 years old, I ask, Lord God, that you would touch him, Lord. He broke his foot, and I'm not sure if they know how that happened, but I ask that you would be with him during this time and that you would comfort him, Lord, with the extra pain in his feet. I also pray for those who are behind bars right now, Lord. I ask that you would just be with each one of them, Lord God, and that you would touch them, Father. And for those that don't know you, that someone's able to come in and preach your word to them, Father. We pray for them at this time. And Rosanna, who is praying for Candy and her husband, who are having some problems, marital problems, Father God. And I pray for the husband who is been mentally and emotionally abusing Candy, Father God, and she's crying out for help, Lord, and she's not sure how much longer she can endure this abuse, Father. So I pray that you would deal with her husband, Lord God, because I guess he's Christian. I pray that you would touch him, Lord God, and that you would begin to transform him, renew him. But I pray for protection, Lord God, that the abuse no longer penetrates Candy at this time. And also herself, she wants to pray for her finals today. I ask that you would bless her, Lord, that you would give her all of the knowledge and wisdom that she already has, Lord God, for her finals to pass, Lord. We pray for Diane, who's praying for Betty Williams, who was diagnosed with the C word also, Lord God. And the doctors have pretty much thrown their hands up, Lord God. And we know that when the doctors can't do anything, Lord God, we give, that's the opportunity for you to show up. So we pray for Betty right now, Lord, and also for Dorothy Carter, who has lesions on her liver. We pray for healing for her and that you would keep them both comfortable at this time. And we also like to lift up Aunt Joyce Walker as she's going through her healing process from her stroke. We ask that you would just be with Tanya's aunt, Lord, at this time, and that you would comfort her and that you would give her, that you would heal her, Lord, in a speedy time. And, Lord, we pray for all of those who are going to also be driving on the roads this morning. I ask that you give them all safe traveling mercies to work, Lord God. And we pray also for anybody else who has some other requests that haven't brought them up. We lift them to you right now, Lord, and I thank you for this morning. Again, I thank you for the opportunity for being able to come to you, Lord God, as I close in saying that we love you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray as I pass the call. Amen.
So, Father God, as we humbly come before you this morning, we give you thanks for all you have done for us. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless everyone that has went before me and the ones that will go after me, and that you will pour back into them, Lord Jesus. Lord, we honor you, and we give you the highest praise from our hearts to yours. Father, we lift you We lift you up this day, Lord Jesus, the marriages, Lord Jesus, that they will commit themselves to live in peace and respect towards one another, and that they will be of the same mind, united in their spirits unto you, Father, and that they are gentle, compassionate, and courteous, and tender-hearted, and humble-minded towards each other, and that they both look to you every day as their help to honor each other. And we also pray that the marriages, that they will have a prayerful life together as also separate unto you, Lord. And we thank you that your wisdom, understanding, and knowledge will reign in each and every one of their marriages, and that they will come to you with any issues, Lord Jesus, that they have, and be able to have a willing heart to listen and obey the prompts of the Holy Spirit that they will give to each one of them to help the marriage day by day. And so, Father, we also bring before you our singles. We thank you, Father, that we put you first in all, and that we seek your kingdom first, and then all other things will be added to us. We thank you as we reach spiritual maturity that our mate is also reaching spiritual maturity. We pray that your will be done in our lives as we, as in our mate's lives, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that we are not anxious for anything, and that we bring all things up to you, Father, in prayer. And we press unto you, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will protect our hearts and our minds in you, Jesus. And we thank you as we delight and we seek your kingdom. For you are working for us to give us the desires of our hearts. And Father, we also pray for your blessings on our family, for the righteousness of Christ to dwell in us, and we will be at peace in our family. And be at peace because you are the one that dwells in us. And we will use wisdom and quietness, trust and confidence in you, Father. Our families are protected by you, and all of our needs are met this day. And we do not fear, but walk, talk, think, and act in faith of your word, Lord. And we thank you for being our shield and buckler in the time of trouble. We bring before you this morning, Lord Jesus, our neighbors and our co-workers. We ask that we will be a light from you in their lives, and that they will see you in us. And we pray that they all will be having a desire heart to know you personally, Lord Jesus, and that they will have a personal relationship with you, experience of needing you in their life. And we ask you to help each of us to serve you by serving others. And Father, we pray for our enemies. Help us to see past their words that would try to hurt us. And help us to see that they are operating in fear. And fear generates anger. Anger generates hate. And hate to suffering. So we lift up their hearts to you. And we ask for prayer that they look at the man in the mirror and see their evil ways. Turn and truly repent. And help us to have love, compassion for our enemies, and to lift them up always before you, Lord, and not to always try to understand and to reason why they're doing what they're doing. Because they really don't, if they come at us, it's because of what they see in us. So help each and every one of us to understand that, Lord, and to pray a prayer of faith for our enemies. And, Lord, we bring up before you our children and our adult children. We ask you to help them to see past what the world is putting before their eyes and their heart. We ask you to deliver them from the callous heart of this world. And we ask you to continue to put godly people in their way, to speak life to them, and to give them godly guidance. We thank you, Father, because we are your child. And because we are your child, you cover our children by your blood. We thank you for covering our children in your wings to protect them, feed them your word, to where they can see the plans of the enemy has for them, and that they turn to you in all their decisions and their life choices. Thank you again, Father, for the blessings on our children, and the blessings that they will take the path you lay before them this day. So, Father God, we thank you for your word going up and doing its work. And we thank you for all the prayers, Lord, not just mine, but all the prayers will be sealed in your precious name of Jesus as I pass the call.
God, I thank you. Pardon me. God, I thank you for another opportunity to come to you boldly this morning, God. God, I thank you that all in my house, Lord God, that you woke me up, Lord God, you woke my life up, Lord God, and you brought us into a sense of consciousness, Lord God, to sing your praises, to say your praises, to walk and talk your praises, and to live for you, God. God, thank you for a new morning and a new determination, Lord God, not only to live, but to live for you, to live for your glory, to work out, Lord God, our soul salvation, to work out and work through any other thing that might be sent our way, Lord God. Because of you, we can operate fully in the Spirit, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for arming us, Lord, with your armor, Lord God, so that we can go ahead and stand up against, defeat anything that may come our way, and to walk in spiritual authority, oh God. So I thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Excuse me. Thank you, oh God. God, because of you, we live and we move and we have our being, Lord God. Thank you because of you, Lord God. We have everything, Lord God, and you are our everything, God. So we appreciate you. We love you, Lord God. God, now we ask that in this season, Lord God, we would speak to no one for lack, oh God. God, that we would speak for intelligence and wisdom in our finances, Lord God. God, we would pray even now that you would continue to walk in the Spirit, walk, Lord God, and move and understand, Lord God, that you are the reason for this season. It's not so much about physical presence and gifts and giving, but it is about you being the gift giver, Lord God. And because of you, we have every good and perfect gift, Lord, so we thank you. God, now we speak to the young people that are studying for their finals to give them presence of mind, Lord God, and articulation of speech, Lord God, that they can go ahead and do an exceptional job at their schools, Lord God, that they would have a great vacation, Lord God, and those traveling mercies and grace for those that are coming back from college, those that will be going to see family and going to and fro on the road and in planes, buses, and whatever mode of transportation, be an angel, Lord God, make easy and successful their travel ways, their travel paths, Lord God. God, and we thank you. Bless the Marie, Lord God. Just bless our children, Lord God. Bless our young youth and our young adults, Lord God, and that this will be a great time and a great season for your glory, Lord. So many Christmas plays and everything to talk about the birth of the baby Jesus. And God, we celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus, God. God, praying for my dear friend Rita, Lord God. Bless her indeed, Lord God. Bless all those that are experiencing health challenges, Lord God. And it's nothing but a challenge, Lord God. Thank you for the test. God, we praise you for their testimony. God, we love you, and we pass the call in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello?
Hello?
Just 1 second. If you're praying, we cannot hear you. You may be on mute.
Lord God, we thank you and we love you. We praise you, Lord God, for your understanding. God, we know that there is none like you. You are God, and you said, God, that you would grant our riches according to your glory in Christ Jesus. I thank you, God, for strengthening our inner spirits with your mighty hand. And God, through faith, I thank you for all the things that you give us. Thank you, Lord, that you are Jesus and you are able to do exceedingly above all things that we could ever ask or think. I thank you, Father. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would grant all of the petitions that came before me, God. And, oh, Lord, we trust in you. We trust in your promises, for, God, you are so faithful. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe and secure in the palm of your mighty hands. We thank you, God, for the victory that you placed way deep down in our souls, oh, God. And we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would break down every idol and every foe out of our lives of out of our lives and out of the lives of your people in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for all that you are, all that you have, and all that you've given us. We thank you for your precious name. Lord, we thank you for your merciless grace, and we praise you, Lord God, for your unmerited favor that you so kindly bestow upon us, God. We thank you, Lord, that your love never fails. And God, I bind up and rebuke the spirit of fear and put on release to all of our victors and all of our visitors and things a new nature of courage in the name of Jesus. Because, God, your word says that for no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Lord, I ask that you would show us what you desire for us to do, Lord God, and give us, God, a deep and spiritual understanding of your word. I ask, Lord, that you would just keep us whole. And Lord God, we thank you for giving us greater knowledge of you. We thank you, God, for your strength and endurance that you placed in our bodies. And Lord, as we begin to take our phones off mute, God, I ask that you would fill each and every person from the sound of my voice, God, with joy, strength, and thankfulness. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that you allow us to come here every day. And we know, God, where our help comes from. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us every morning on this call. Thank you for showing up and showing out, O Lord. For you alone, Lord God, are worthy. We thank you, God, for being our great comforter in the time of sorrow. You are our great peace in the time of pain and distress, God. And we are thankful. Lord God, we trust in you. We adore you and we love you, God. And we thank you for your divine promises. And we shall stand firm on the promises, God, that you have given us. We ask, God, that you would be our protection, Lord God, from our faults and anything that the enemy might try to bring our way. And, Lord God, protect us from sin. We thank you, God, that when our spirits grow weary, that your word and your spirit revive us again and again. And, God, we're grateful for that. Daily, God, we call upon your blessed and holy name, O God. And, Lord, when we call upon your name, God, for help, because we know where our help comes from. And thank you, Lord, for being Jehovah Rapha, God, because you are our healer. And Lord God, we appreciate and love you for being our healer. Thank you, God, for restoration of our soul. Thank you for protecting our family and friends and our children. We thank you for your precious blood, Lord God Jesus, that continues to cover us. We thank you, God, for continuing to breathe upon us, God, so that we're able to go on about our everyday lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gifts that you continue to give us. We thank you, God, for shelter and housing. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for ordering our steps. We just want to bless your name on this morning, God, because you are grateful. We praise you, O God, for your angelic protection, Lord. We praise you for great doctor's reports and for the things and the healing that you're going to do for people who have ailments. We thank you, God, for touching bodies that are ailing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, praise you for protecting us from harmful circumstances, Lord God, because we know that you are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Lord God, we are so grateful to you. We're grateful to you because you are worthy. We praise your precious name, Lord God, and we take nothing for granted. We know that every good thing is from you. We know, Lord God, that you are the creator of all creation, God, and we are so grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, David, for renewed strength that you give us. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning to see another day. Lord, we thank you for the precious blood that you breathe on us, God, that brings about healing and restores our soul in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your glory. Thank you, God, for the strength that you give us, God, to continue to go on and on, God. Thank you, God, for delivering us and giving us the gift of your righteousness. God, we thank you for the joy of our salvation. We thank you, God, for Thank you.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and we thank you as I pass the call.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Amen and amen. Good morning again. As we walk into Love, Life, and Victory, I'd first like to again welcome our new victor, Catherine Webster. Catherine, are you still on the line? Okay, I was just going to ask her who invited her. Again, as we walk into the Love, Life, and Victory portion of the call, are there any first-time callers that joined the call late? Another one or any of them that would like to say good morning? Pardon me?
Good morning, it's Bridget.
Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning. Good morning, it's Nyjah.
Good morning, Nyjah.
Good morning, it's Anthony.
Good morning, Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
Good morning, it's Pretty Patrice.
Good morning, Pretty Patrice.
Good morning, family.
Thank you for your prayers.
Good morning, welcome. I couldn't hear the last one.
This is Cheryl.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Cheryl. Good morning. Good morning,
Josiah. Good morning, Josiah.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Rita, and I just want to thank the anointed man of God that prayed for me. Thank you for your prayers.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Cindy.
Good morning, Cindy.
Hey, beautiful Cindy.
Good morning, Victory family. God bless you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
it's
me, Mary.
Good morning, me, Mary. Good morning, Sister Gloria.
Good morning, this is Valuable Valicita.
Good morning, Valuable Valicita.
Good morning, family, this is Ollie.
Good morning, Ollie.
Good morning, it's Sinai Jay.
Good morning, Sinai Jay. And let's not forget, today is Erica's birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Can we sing already? Wait. Everybody, Erica deserves an amazing birthday celebration song. On the count of three, y'all ready? One, two, three. Go on, Brother Jeff.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Shorty. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's your birthday. Hey, Shorty. It's your birthday. Uh-oh, we got a new twist to the birthday song. Hey, Shorty. It's your birthday. Hey, Shorty. It's your birthday.
Okay, Brother Jack. Ooh, you
mix a little rap with it.
Uh-huh.
Claire Victory Choir rehearsal will be tonight at 7:30.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Erica.
Is there anyone else that would like to say good morning? Okay, with that said, I will go ahead and turn the call back over to Tanya. Again, everyone have a wonderful and blessed day. Love y'all. Tanya, it's in your hands.
Thank you, my wonderful Susie. And, you know, I got started and I didn't thank those individuals that had greeted this morning and hosted the call and read the scripture, so I apologize for that. I want you to know how much your efforts are appreciated because we need you, so thank you again for that. I might make a declaration out of this, but I have to share this with you yesterday. I had an amazing opportunity to, I had to go to San Francisco to review grants. And so one of my goals is to be someone that gives money away, philanthropy, you know, using philanthropy as a funder. And I had an opportunity, this is the second time this year I had the opportunity to do that. And it was absolutely empowering to sit in a room with like-minded individuals and, you know, look at proposals that people had submitted and make a decision whether based upon their ability to write and articulate what it is that they wanted, how they were going to serve the community, how the community would be impacted, in other words, the results behind that work that they did. And it was also amazing that so many of us, we made our decisions prior to coming together, but it was so amazing that so many of us, that several of us chose about 15 to 20 of the 65 applications. We without even knowing it, we had done it. And so it was just an amazing process. But what was funny, or what was actually getting there. And I think I'm going to make a declaration about it because I took public transportation and I observed some things and I took on my people watching skills. So, but anyway, I'm just thankful for, again, that we're at the final stretch. We have a couple more weeks left in this year. And, you know, some of us were believing God for some things and perhaps we haven't seen those things manifest. Well, it ain't over yet. The year is not over until December the 31st, 11:59 p.m. So continue to believe God and do what you're supposed to do. I don't know why I'm on that this morning because it has nothing to do with the declaration. But just I want to encourage you to continue to believe God and don't give up on him. You know, lots of things can happen in the fourth quarter for you Christian sports fans who watch sports on Sundays. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So anyway, let's talk about JoJo some of his experiences. Can anybody identify with having to make a presentation? You feel like a fish out of water. It doesn't have to be for business. Maybe it was for work or something like that, and you do all this preparation and you feel really good about it, and the physical reaction that your body has to being nervous. Can anybody identify with JoJo on that?
I can, Tanya.
Who is that?
Barbara
Cockrell?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, what are some of, like, does it come up on you prior to you doing whatever it is that you have and or during or after?
All of the above.
Oh, gosh. Do you have any mechanisms that you use to help calm yourself down?
Pray. Lord, no. I know that this is what you want me to do.
So you just have to help me through it. You know, like even now, I'm supposed to do decorations in January, and I've been, for a week, I've been talking to the Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, how do you want me to do it? And he showed me some things. He said, show me some things. But, girl, you left us on a cliffhanger. You know I was going to say that. Next Thursday.
You cannot. You got to be wide awake. Thank you, Ms. Barbara, for sharing. Anybody else had any similar experiences to JoJo and Ms. Barbara? And if so, what do you do to help calm yourself down?
This is Patty.
Hey, Patty.
Good morning. Yes, I do, especially when, and it's mainly when I have to get in front of people still. I mean, I'm not afraid to do it anymore, but when I get up on stage to sing or, you know, solo or what have you, you know, I feel like everybody can see my heart jumping out and my legs wobbling, and, you know, and it mine usually takes place a week before, maybe the week of, and once I get out there, it calms down, and I'm like Barbara praying, Lord, this is what you want me to do, so I need you to walk out there on this stage with me, because it's mainly when I'm going out onto the stage to sing or something, so that's mine.
Thank you, Patty. I can identify with that. I usually don't get the nerves that early on, but it's usually when I would sing. And you talk about, Marcus can tell you, the last time I had to sing, where were we, Marcus? Was it a funeral? Marcus was able to play for me. And Marcus, I think I've shared this before. It was a funeral. Marcus's ability, and because of our ability to connect, We connect in ministry, him with the playing and me being able to sing. He just makes me feel so comfortable. And I told him, okay, don't let me chicken out because I will switch the song up in a minute, especially when it's a new song. And the tricked out part about it is that I'm singing at church. They ain't no professional singers. You know what I mean? Like it's like they're not to take it, and some of them might be, but as a whole, and you know the church is pretty forgiving, but it goes back to my personality of wanting to deliver my best all the time. You know, I don't want to make I don't want to forget a word. I don't want to mess up a run. I don't want any cracks in my, you know, I want to start off at just the right key, because if I start off too high, I'm not going to be able to go higher. If I start off too low, whatever. But anyway. Thank you. I can absolutely identify with that. Anybody else want to share your nerves, the physical reaction it has to you before you're getting ready to do something or, you know, speak or what have you, read a scripture, make the announcement?
Hey, Tanya, this is Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
So I wanted to say, yes, it was a funeral. And yes, I before I say my comment about the decoration. Great decoration, by the way, but I want to say that I think I picked that up from you, being like, I want everything to be right. I want everything to be perfect, you know, before I start anything. With that said, I think I shared this before, but years ago when I was about, I think I was 10 at True Hope, my first time really singing in front of people, I got so nervous that I cried so hard, and I couldn't even control myself.
Yeah,
and every time I sang the song, I would cry and cry and cry. And the goal was, when the performance came up, the goal was to not cry.
Cry, yes.
And so I was trying so hard not to cry that by the time I got through the song, and as soon as the song was over, I let it all out, and it was a trip. But but now I've learned how to control that. I've learned how to, of course, that was years ago. But I still get nervous. I still get fearful sometimes. But I've learned that nervousness, how to use it to make what you're doing even better. So that's what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Was there anybody else? Oh, go ahead, Eric. Thank you.
Yeah,
usually in my church, I play during, you know, y'all call it Sunday school. We call it Sabbath school. Me and my wife just does a musical program. And sometimes we're called to do special music, like towards the end. Now, sometimes the Sabbath school comes you know, a little late, or it goes over time. Dave Jackson from Axe, who usually plays for us, will usually come in. And that's usually the time I always get so nervous because I have to play, you know, and he's right there. And I'll be saying to myself, man, I've been playing for years before even Dave was even born. But he's such a caliber of player, and he's such a master at his craft that usually he'll be, like, right there on side me, and I'll be like, ah, here we go, man. It just seems like, man, I concentrate so much on every chord, and it seems like I can't even hardly play, and I get, like, real nervous because I'm already kind of got that confidence factor anyway, but it's just like when he's there, it just magnifies. So, yeah, that's one of my experiences also.
What do you do to calm yourself, Eric? Do you have a mechanism that you use to calm yourself down?
I really kind of just I try to stop, try not to focus. There are two things. I try not to focus on what I'm playing, and the second thing is I try to focus on what my wife is singing, and that okay. usually will kind of help. And just pray that it gets over quick.
Oh, my God. Okay, so before I go on to this. Oh, yes.
I had an experience a couple of weeks ago wherein I had to, I was asked to speak at one of our 12-step fellowships, and it wasn't a speaker discussion. It was a speaker's meeting where I was the only speaker. And they give you a little extra time to speak to the members. And all of that week, prior to that Friday where I had to speak, I had a slight level of anxiety. And it was because of, like, what you said, that you always want to give your very best. And I understand that a part of the anxiety that I was experiencing, I can't say that I lost a lot of sleep. I did lose some sleep, but there was a level of anxiety that was present because I felt that my preparation wasn't where I wanted it to be, because I was like, okay, well, what is it that I'm going to share with the group? And because I'm not a book thumper, you know, I'm not one to really dive into the text and dissect it and be able to regurgitate it to the audience. And, you know, so when the day of, when that evening came, that Friday came, I prayed and I asked God to give me what I needed to deliver. And he said, Jeff, just tell your story. And my goodness, I was able to get up. And because I, you know, usually they give you like 20 minutes, you know, 25 minutes to speak. But during the speaker discussion, you get a little bit longer time. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to share for 30 minutes? And God told me, he said, just share your story. Just share your truth. And that's what I did. And, you know, two weeks later, people were still coming up to me and telling me how they was blessed by me sharing my truth. So I think the level of anxiety and lack of sleep that I experienced those few days before the actual date came from the fear of preparation and as I listened to you share how JoJo was, he was prepared. He knew his craft. He had done the study, and he had, you know, his fathers and his family members that had they had already instilled in him the architect, whatever it is he was, business he was in. So he was prepared, but yet he still lost sleep that night before. So, and I'm assuming that he was very prepared. So my lack of sleep and anxiety stem from fear of preparation.
Thank you, Brother. Sorry, I couldn't get myself off. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to move on, but in moving on, I'm going to close this out by saying a couple of things. One is that we know the scripture that talks about, I was going to get it, but I didn't have time. It's in Matthew's, I believe, and it talks about worry and how many of you, when you worry, I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember where the text is, but like you can't change the situation by worrying. And it talks about the birds of the field and the lilies of the field, the birds, how they don't worry about what they're going to eat. They just are. The birds don't worry about what they eat. They're going to receive their provisions.
That's Matthew 6.
Thank you. I knew one of you. Good. Big Deville. Go ahead.
and around 30.
Okay. So though that is talking about our spiritual need, you know, food and stuff like that, we can use that text, the parallel, with because really it's talking about needs. And the scripture, even though it's talking about the bird and food, it's not related to food. It's related to a need. And when we are getting ready to perform, whether it's to preach or to sing or give a presentation or whatever, we need peace. We need to be able to deliver that material in a way that is effective so people can use it. So we can use that scripture as a way to say, God, I need your help, and I make a decision, I make a choice not to worry. And so we can change our language from, oh, my God, what are the people going to say? Oh, my God, I'll probably do it, to saying, I am an amazing singer. I am an amazing presenter. People are going to be blessed by what they hear that comes out of my mouth or by the food that I'm going to be preparing. People are going to be blessed when I greet at the door. I'm not going to be nervous. I am not afraid because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And I am going to do my best because I have prepared. Now, what do you do when you're not prepared, though? Somebody calls on you at the last minute and says, I need you to do this, or I need you to do that, or you're sitting in church and somebody says, oh, Sister So-and-so, come sing a solo. Maybe that doesn't happen to some of your churches, but that has happened to me many a time. Come do praise and worship. Like, what? And so we can glean from what we have on the inside and pray that prayer of God. Give me, as you walking up to the mic, and don't get up there apologizing about, well, I didn't know nobody was going to call me, and I'm not prepared, and, you know, I'm nervous, and y'all excuse me because I'm nervous. Pray for me. Don't do that. Walk up in excellence and grace and do your thing. Yeah, because if he did it before, he can do it again. The other thing I'll say on that is that the times where I have been nervous, and I started off in myself, not to be not in a cocky way, but I started off with just opening my mouth. And the, I don't know about you guys, but the feeling, the anointing come over me, and feeling the Holy Spirit literally sing through me is an absolute amazing feeling. He literally, like, I have an out-of-body experience, but I can tell when I'm sung, and I can tell when the Holy Spirit anointed me, and he has now given me the confidence and the assurance to be able to sing what I've already practiced. That is an amazing feeling. I don't know what that's like for a musician or what that's like for anybody else in any other trade, but it is absolutely, even in giving presentations in a secular audience, like feeling the confidence come over me that I don't have to refer to my notes. And I'm talking about before funders. I'm talking about whatever. The anointing is the anointing. And for me, when I feel the anointing come, it is, I feel equipped at that moment, and like, I got this. Whether I get the deal or not, I got it. I'm going to deliver the goods now. Ain't no stopping me. Can anybody attest to that or identify with what I just said about, you know, while you're in the middle of it, you feel that shift?
I can, or if you want to wait for some of them.
No, go ahead. You spoke first.
So I did a solo, and I knew my words and all of that, and I got up on the stage, but before I did the solo, the Lord, he kind of prepared me. I didn't know exactly what he was saying, but he just told me, watch what's going to happen. Allow me to work through you, and I'm going to do something that you have never experienced before. So I kept thinking, wow, okay, something, you know, I kept looking for it. And I got up on the stage, and on Sunday we have three services. So every service is like I forgot my words. And I can't, you know, and I was embarrassed. I mean, nobody else knew that because I ad-libbed, but it's an unbelievable feeling to feel the Holy Spirit take over I almost can't even really I can't even really put it into words, but it was something else, and every service it was at a different place where I couldn't remember my words, and no one else knew except for myself, of course, and you know, of course, I was beating myself up, but the Lord kept saying, "No, this doesn't have anything to do with you." I purposely did that because someone needed to hear the words that you were ad-libbing. And I said, okay. So it was something else. It was something else to fill that.
Well, first of all, thank God for the ad-lib. I don't know what any singer would do without ad-lib. Okay, go ahead. Who was that? Debrie Bond?
And after her, it's Resilient Rosanna, please.
Yes, absolutely.
I just wanted to say that it's been times when the Lord has constructed a audience around me, and I'm saying, wow, Lord. And then all of a sudden, I could feel the Holy Spirit take over me because there's been words that I have said, and I said, where did that come from? But the words that were said were so sweet and right on point, and I said, Lord, that was nothing but you. And then when I tried to recount what I said, mostly a lot of times I forget. I forget exactly what it was that I said, but all I can do is tell the person that I know that was from the Lord and it was right on point and it was perfect. But a lot of times I can't remember word for word what it was said. And I said, Lord, that was nothing but you, all you. And it's so sweet when he does it because you just know that it's really freeing to the audience if they can really take a hold of it. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. I think was Rosalia Rosanna next?
Yes. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
From time to time, I have to do presentations regarding my health and dental care business benefits. And this time, I really did go and make a different presentation because the structure of the company had changed. So trying to make sure, of course, I got nervous, anxiety. Don't have any more anxiety. Well, the expiration on my pills, so I couldn't take those. So I just had to just work with what I am. And so a lot of the times my presentation will come from just following the information on the PowerPoint presentation because I'm just essentially regurgitating the information. But as I got further into the presentation, it was just like something just changed. There was a shift. And when this person who is one of my members chimed in and validated the benefits, oh, that just made it even better. That was the best presentation I've ever done, even though it was to like a crowd of 8 people, whatever, I felt like I was giving that information to a crowd of 1,000. I mean, the information just kept coming and coming. Questions kept coming to me. I was able to answer them, no problem. I could feel the shift. That's all I could say.
Thank you. Well, did I hear, thank you, Rosanna. Did I hear anybody else? I thought I heard one other person. Maybe not. Okay, maybe. Yep, that shift is something else. It is something else. It's like you go, like it's almost like you're shifting gears in your car and you get some extra, you get some extra power. All right. Get some extra confidence. But there's nothing like studying because it will absolutely help you to be prepared to do what you need to do. So moving from, you know, and God is just so merciful. He's sovereign. You know, he can use anybody, regardless to whether or not we are completely knowledgeable or where we are, where we should be. If he wants to get a point across, he wants to deliver a message to somebody, he will use us. So it's not that you have to have a degree or you have to be a theologian or you have to be, you know, the number one salesperson, excuse me, in your company or your organization, or you have to have a degree in music, none of that. God has the ability to use us, and he works through the Holy Spirit. So at any rate, and that's not to make it spooky or anything like that, it is what it is. Let me ask a question. Let me flip it just a little bit. What about the physical reaction when you get ready to do something that's wrong? When you get ready to do something that could be a scandal? You have the same type of, is there a physiological, now I know that might be kind of, I'm talking about your old lifestyle, not what you do now, because we're victors now, we got the victory over that stuff. In your past life, in your former life, even if it was yesterday, in your former life, when you get ready to do something wrong, can you identify, is there a physical reaction that you have? I'll start. I was learning to become a booster. I was not very good at it. And my heart would race when we got, this was way back in the day before they had those. I know some of y'all got y'all mouth open. Close it. Listen here now. But this was before they had those, what do you call the things that they, the tags that they have on the alert tags that they have on the phone. That's not what they call them, but you know what I mean. You rip them off, you're going to tear the thing, or it's going to, this dye will come out, or whatever the case may be. You can't cut it off. It was way before then. And my heart would race. Or when I got ready to do something that I knew I shouldn't be doing, my heart would race, and my mouth would get dry. Is anybody else willing to be transparent enough? Because, you know, we're on Transparent Avenue right now. To say, yes, you had a physical reaction and how you overcome it. Or you overcame it because you don't do wrong habitually now. Go ahead. Who was that?
Tanya.
Yes.
This is Barbara.
Hey,
and
Barbara.
I'm getting ready to be really, really transparent. And like you said, I don't want nobody with their mouth open.
Okay.
I used to hang out with a girlfriend years and years ago, and she would take money for sex. And I was trying to do it. I ain't going to lie. I was trying to do it. But, girl, I got to the room and had to give the man back his money because I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And I was so embarrassed. But I ain't never tried to do it no more. Do you hear me?
This is Resilient Rosanna.
Wait a second, Rosanna. We have to have a Selah moment. We're having a Selah moment right now.
Can you give me 30 seconds?
I need oxygen. Barbara, I love you. I love you, honey, because everybody wouldn't have told that. But isn't that something, I promise, Resilient Rosanna, I'm going to give you one. God spared you from that. Because had you started, you would have continued. Thank God for his mercy. Okay, go ahead, Resilient.
Okay, so what I used to do, and this is another one, you know, close your mouth, was that I used to mess around with married men. And I did not have, when I first started, I didn't have any feelings about it. I just did it. But two things, well, the first thing didn't stop me, which was the one person's wife confronted me about it. I wasn't ready to get into a fight, so I left that situation alone. However, as I said, it did not stop me. But what did stop me was when I had to sue this person. And it's a whole long story I won't get into about some money. And I had to, and this is the time when I was going through my depression and I was in outpatient therapy, yada, yada, yada. And I went to somebody, I said something to someone and they went and told the doctor, and I was in a codependency class that day. And from that day, when I learned to say no and had to sue the person, I stopped messing with married men.
Really? That was the thing that wow.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, like, hey, whatever. As long as you stop. Mm-hmm. That's it. Thank you for sharing, and thank you for being that transparent. Again, some people won't, but this, you know what I love about the line? This has been our motto. This is the culture of this line, is that we are transparent, because just like you shared and Barbara shared, there are people on the call that may be engaging in that behavior, or they used to. And for them to hear that, oh, man, somebody else did too, and they came out of it, and now they're on a prayer call with Zidia Rosanna. She greets people, and Miss Barbara gives declarations, and she prays. Wow, yes. Because that old thing, the Bible says, my favorite book says, if any man, parenthesis or woman, we're talking about mankind, be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The old things that they used to do, they don't do them anything. They don't do them anymore. All things become new. So the way that they used to behave, the way that they used to talk, it doesn't happen all at one time for most people. Generally, there is a process, because you didn't get to that point all at one time. And so that's what I love about the culture that has been created here, is that we can be transparent without being judgmental, and knowing that if God did it for that person, that's the whole premise of why we do it. We share our business not to be sharing it just to be sharing it, but to let you know God did it for me and this is how I was. He can do it for you. Thank you so much, both of you, for sharing. Anybody else want to share?
Yeah, I'm just getting off the floor at my desk just from your boosting. That's all. I'm going to mute.
Is this my Didi? Well, listen,
I love my Victor. I love y'all.
I love them too. Listen, Didi, they don't care. You can do whatever the heck you want to now, because they're giving you papers tomorrow, honey.
Hey, as we dance, listen, and play music.
Let me tell you something. When they gave me this, I'm going off cuff for a minute. I promise I'll get back. When the people told me you could leave, I was like, what? Are you sure you want to do that? Because you know you might be making a mistake, honey. I was so outdone with them folks. But let me tell you something. When I got myself together, I didn't go off or anything. I remained very professional. When I got my little stuff together and I was getting ready to leave, I said, I just want you to know something. I spoke a word over them two women, especially that one with them funny fake eyes that wasn't hers. They made her look like a demon because she shouldn't have wore them colored contacts. Anyway. I told her, I spoke to her, and I spoke prophetically over my life and my nonprofit organization, and I asked God to spare their lives what they had done right in front of their face. And she had the nerve to call me Tanya. I said, oh, no, my name is Tanya. And I turned around, and I walked out the building. Woo, baby, you talk about empowering. And I was saved, sanctified, and filled with the mighty burning fire. And if they'd have kept on messing with me, because I turned on my gospel music as I packed up my stuff, I'd have did a dance in that place. I would have did what y'all call it, a jig, honey. All right, now that I've gotten that out, I love being saved. I love that God is on my side, because we have power that people don't realize. We have authority that we haven't really even tapped into. All right. What is the deal with the barbershop and men? I need some bruh's help on this one. Now, women get accused all the time of being gossips and, you know, always catting off and running their mouth. But my dad used to be a barber. He had a barbershop. And the men would sit around and talk about all kinds of stuff. But that, my dad had a rule in his shop. When you're in my shop, it's certain things that you're not going to talk about. When I leave, that's between you and the other barbers. But while I'm here, and especially if my daughter come in here, you better keep it clean. What's the deal with you guys in barbershops and shop talk? Help me understand. I know you don't want to divulge secrets, but we be sharing ours. We just want to know.
Oh, Lord. All right, this is Marcus. I guess that's where we feel free to talk, to let it out, you know, let stuff out. And it's not really, well, I guess you could call it gossip, but that's where we, you know, that's where we get things off our chest. And it's an open forum. It's almost like a talk show. But you will notice that after we leave the barbershop, we don't talk about this stuff.
That's right, Mark. Give up no secrets.
And one other thing.
The barbershop stays at the barbershop.
Right. And we're careful about who's in the barbershop when we're talking, too.
Amen.
So, wow. So.
Well, you know
what,
too, Tanya? When you think about the barbershop, there aren't many places where men go.
Oh,
you know, you can't do it at work. Okay. If you're at work, you're supposed to be working. You can't just 10 guys gather around a job and talk about stuff. The barbershop is where cats go. It used to be the boys' club, but you went to the boys' club and played pool and ping pong. But the barbershop is just that one particular place that guys go. And barbershops didn't generally have women until women really start wearing short haircuts and getting an afro cut. They weren't in the barbershops. You know, like your dad, you said your dad, if his daughter comes
right,
in.
Right, they weren't. They,
you know,
they,
it
they
wasn't,
yeah.
The women were in barbershops all the time. So when guys come in, they just start talking. The barbershops that I've been in that I've never been before, when you go in, the barbers will check you out. They kind of check you out, just kind of see where you're coming from. And, you know, they're talking about whatever it is. And then you kind of feel comfortable enough to get involved in the conversation before you know what you're doing. Now, it started off mainly talking about games, basketball, football, you know, so it started off that way until brothers got comfortable enough to start talking about their personal lives and wives and girlfriends and stuff like that. But it was really a meeting place to talk about sports and things of that nature. And but that's where brothers go. You know, we don't go to work and talk, and every now and then, you know, you run into somebody at the liquor store or and you'll stop for a few minutes and talk. But the barbershop is where it was your meeting place on Saturdays or Fridays or whenever. It's just a meeting place. It's just nowhere else we do that at.
That's amazing, Tim, that you shared that. And when you talked about meeting at the liquor store, you talking about your former.
No, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs.
Wait, I'm messing with you. Okay. Well, but
this is Tanya.
Who?
This is Brother Eric. I'm sorry.
Because Tanya is not. She's not leading the call.
Tanya.
Yeah.
Tanya,
okay, I just
I'm
wanted
sorry.
To make sure because I thought maybe she had said something and I didn't hear her.
No, I'm sorry, Tanya.
I'm literally, this is a great morning. I'm literally crying laughing. Go ahead, Eric. You know I'm messing with you. I love you, bro. Go ahead.
I know this, darling. It's also for men of color, it's always been a safe haven, too. Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, Brother Tim said, you know, at the job or in any other places, especially when you're maybe might be the only minority group and you feel like that, you know, there are a lot of places, man, where we go that we feel like not that we're intimidated, but that other people are intimidated or just can't even relate to our thought process and to how we talk, to how we, you know, how we look at things. And the barbershop also has been a place where, you know, men of color, you know, could just go and be themselves, be able to talk about a political minister to one another, you know, network, you know, if somebody's looking for a job or whatever, you know, you get everything. You get the hookups there, you know, you get the bootlegs there. You know, you always got that one guy kind of like the movie to come in, you know, they're selling something that you, you know. So it's just somewhere where we can just be free, you know. Awesome. If you, you know, the barbershop in the corner. But, you know, in the corner, if you're on the corner, the cops will probably pick you up. So those are the only two places where I felt like, you know, that they allow us to really to have our own being, you know. So that's the barbershop I know to me.
And you know, I'm going to add this too, Tanya. Before the barbershop, when brothers would cut hair out of their garage, so, you know, before they got to the, in a barbershop, and you go into your partner's house to get your hair cut, you know, you got the TV on in the garage or the music, two or three brothers are coming over there. So when you're in a, that's like a home atmosphere. It's where you were comfortable first. And then that brother who was cutting hair bootleg because he might not have had a license, he eventually would get a license and then go into a barbershop and go into a shop. And also we get the support of movies, you know, Barbershop 1, Barbershop 2. So when you see the movies support, you know, have movies about barbershop, it helps to promote a meeting place. You know what I'm saying? It helps promote the meeting place where things happen. Look at, you know, when you look at TV or the movies, barbershop, you see what goes on in the barbershop. You know, it's camaraderie. It's fun. It's, you look forward. I even know people go to the barbershop and they're not getting a haircut. They go in there just to hang out. You know, I know some barbershops, there's one here in L.A., he got a pool table in there. So people come in there and they shoot pool, you know, and it's, they got TV, they're talking sports, they get their food and come in. It is a tailgate party inside of a barbershop, so to speak. You know,
amazing.
And it's just become, it has just become, like Brother Eric said too, people of color. That's where we meet. Where else are we going to pick back? You know, when the one quickie, when the Boys Club opened up their doors to girls, it was like a place, well, God, man, we can't go nowhere and have our privacy, you know. So the barbershop is kind of like the last bastion of meeting place. And when women do come in, the shop talk stops. They're very respectful, you know, the cussing ends, unless you get one brother every now and then will slip up and say something, but then they're very polite, I'm sorry, you know, and do it like that. But it's just, it's a place for, like, safe haven. It's a place for us to meet and go to. I love going to the barbershop. And then you get in groomed,
I remember.
You know. Yeah.
Tanya,
yeah.
I remember when I was raising my kids. If their dad didn't take them to the barbershop, I would just drop them off. I wouldn't even go in. I'd just drop them off and then come back and pick them up.
I know that, even though my dad was a barber, it rarely, I mean, generally I was in school. Every now and then I'd get a chance to go to the shop and just hang out with him a little bit. And he was teaching me customer service skills, how to, you know, how to handle the money and be polite and say thank you. And, you know, if you do a good job, they might give you a tip or whatever. But I wasn't there that often. I just remember some of the times going there. But I do know that, you know, when Carl will go to the shop, just walking into a bar, and my boys never had to go to the, they didn't have the barbershop experience because my dad was a barber, and he had stopped cutting hair, but whenever they needed a haircut, we just went to my dad's house. So they didn't have, I wonder if I affected them some kind of way by them not having barbershop experience. I'm gonna have to talk to them about that. But, you know, Carl goes to the barbershop, and the times when I've had to, when I have gone with him, like, I just felt like this is way out of place, and I don't feel like I should be here. So once I was stuck, I was riding with him, so I ended up staying, but I just didn't feel like, I didn't feel comfortable. And so, you know, every now and then when we were getting ready to go someplace, he would say, well, just come with me to the shop, and I'm like, nah, I'll just stay out in the car, or I'll, you know, I'll have something, and you go ahead, and whatever. But it just didn't feel right, and I guess it's because now hearing what you're saying, you gave me such a rich understanding today about that being your space, and I have a newfound respect for the barbershop now. So we won't call it gossip. We'll call it Mossip. M like Mary, O-S-S-I-P, Mossip, because y'all be, listen, y'all be chopping it up.
It's a public man cave. It's our public man cave. That's what it is. It's our public man cave.
I heard a woman call my name.
Yeah, so Tanya, this is Rosanna. I just want to ask a minute question. So what do you guys do when you're at the barbershop but the barbers are women?
Because I just got there used to be an older lady that would cut my hair. But again, the barber, the talk changes. When you got a woman in the room, the talk changes. And my pastor just yesterday gave me a woman's name. She's a barber, and he said, man, she's bad. She cut hair even better than his guy. And so I'm going to call her and try and see how she cuts hair. You know, and I've known some women. There's one lady, she got tattoos, and so she like a tomboy, right? She fit right in, and the music they be playing is hip-hop up in there. She got tattoos. She got a short haircut. So she fit right in, you know. So you find some women that can fit in like that, and you got some who are still, a little, very feminine. And so it has changed the dynamics to a certain degree. But you got to remember, some of the women don't work every day. There are sometimes when you go in there and the sister's not in there. But they're very respectful because she's one of them. She's a barber. She got skills, you know. So the talk changes, and they talk about different subjects. What I've found is that the subject of conversation is more political. You might find out you will talk about relationships from time to time. So the woman can give you a woman's perspective. And so it's a learning place, really. You know, there's education that goes on in the barbershops. You know, so it's not just nasty talk or bad talk or gossip or backstabbing. There's some very interesting conversation that go on in the barbershop. And I've been to shops where you come back next week with information that you were going to research to bring back and let people know what was going on. So it's a very educational experience, too.
Yeah. Hey, this is Deborah Yvonne. Hello?
Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say that when my youngest son, when he was young, and my ex-husband and I, we weren't really doing things together, so I had to take the responsibility to take him to the barbershop, and the one that we went to, there was a lot of men around, but I really appreciated them because I learned some things, but I noticed that the barber and the men in the shop kept giving my son life lessons because they knew that his father was around because he never did bring him. So they wanted to put into him things from their perspective and things to watch out for in his future. And I really did appreciate it.
Interesting. Thank you, Deborah. All right. Enough of the barbershop talk, unless somebody else has something really, really burning that they want to share. No? Good. All right. I want to talk about dreaming a little bit. Because JoJo, he got ready to, he went to bed. He had a bunch of stuff on his mind, he couldn't sleep. He could not sleep. And I remember having to be at work at a certain time or maybe a meeting at a certain time, and for whatever reason I couldn't sleep, toss and turn. You look at the clock and you count the hours. Okay, if I fall asleep now, I'll have, this many hours before I absolutely have to get up. And maybe what I'll do is I already put my clothes out. Maybe I'll go take my shower now so that I can sleep in a little, just trying to figure out how you can maximize the last little hours that you have. Does anybody have a remedy that you use when you can't fall asleep? You've prayed, you've counted the sheep, you have drank warm milk. Anybody have anything that is a surefire thing that works for you when you can't fall asleep?
Sometimes I start reading the Bible.
Okay, so Patty.
That'll help me go to sleep.
Okay, Patty?
I usually lay there and pray because I'm in that mode right now where I can't. I'm not going to sleep till 1, 2:30 in the morning. And so I usually pray, talk to the Lord. Lord, now why do you have me up at this time of night or morning? And I will even go so far, too, as to open up my word if that doesn't work. So I use that same thing as Tim, too.
Thank you. And thank you, Tim. We said you would read.
Anybody else? You have something that you use?
I usually read, and sometimes it's the Bible and sometimes it's not.
Okay. Anybody else?
I kind of, this is Debra Yvonne, I kind of reflect my day to see if it was something that I did that's not really pleasing unto the Lord, and try to think about things, and I ask the Lord to help me.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Pam.
Yes, Judy.
I do. I'll read the word. I'll say a prayer. But to be honest, I have to laugh myself to sleep. So I always usually turn on Martin or TV One because I don't want to go to sleep heavy before I listen to my husband snore. And that's it.
Do you ever make rhythms out of his snoring? Like, have you ever
yes.
made a song?
Yes. And then I put a pillow. I try to figure out if I put a pillow a certain way, if it'll stop it, but then I don't want to kill a man. So I just listen and I finally go to sleep.
Hilarious. I listen to the different sounds of car. I shouldn't say this on the thing, but I listen to the different sounds. Okay, he changed. Wait a minute. Are you going to breathe? Oh, okay. You know, whatever. It's funny. Okay.
Sister Tammy.
I can't sleep in the early mornings. I call the victory line.
Oh.
When I wake up at 6 o'clock or 6:30, I just get on the victory line when I can't sleep because I'll be trying to stay asleep.
That's the Lord knocking at your heart.
I'm just being transparent here. Shoot, y'all be 6 o'clock is too early for me to be waking up. I have to wake up. I call y'all and listen.
Brother Jeff, I think, was trying to say something, or am I wrong?
Yes. Yes. What I experience is that because I get up at a certain hour every morning, it's very early. Before the 6 a.m. call, I'm up at 4:45 every morning. And sometimes God will wake me up at 3 a.m. in the morning. And I was like, Lord, what? You know I need my, because, you know, I'm trying to get at least 5-6 hours sleep. And so like Brother Tim said, you know, I'll try and read his word. And, you know, eventually I'll fall back to sleep. And sometimes I don't, you know, and then the alarm clock go off. It's 4:45. It's time to get up. And I'm assuming already I'm thinking that I'm going to be exhausted, that I'm going to be struggling through the day. And I find that if I'm obedient to get up and just get into his word, when he wake me up at 3 a.m. and I can't get back to sleep, that I go through the day without any tiredness. I have so much energy, especially when I got connected to Declare Victory. It's just something about that collective praise to where that I get rejuvenated, and I go through the day as if I didn't have a hard time getting sleep that night before.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Anybody else want to share on that? And then I'm going to shift gears real quick before we get to hang up. Okay. So somebody's television is on pretty loud. Go ahead and press. Never mind, I'll do it. All right. I want to talk a little bit about dreams except the type of dream, I don't even know if you call it a dream. Let me describe it, and then I'll see if you can identify. You ever gone to sleep, and you know you're and you're not awake, but you're not asleep either. You're alert. It's just that you're in this state where you really can't move. I don't know what it's. I call it the in between. Sleep stage. Can anybody identify what I'm talking about? And if so, is there a name for that?
I can't.
What is it?
I don't know the name, but I've been in that place, and I've been in the place of falling, and I feel like I'm struggling to try to get out of a fall. You know, it's kind of a dream state, and there have been times when I felt as though something was in my face, like 1 inch in my face, like a spirit of some sort, and I just start going, Jesus, Jesus. I start calling on, Jesus' name, and I wake up, you know, after a while. But sometimes it is a struggle. I'm like, and I feel like I'm falling, but I'm not afraid. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. And when I wake up, when I actually wake up, I'm not afraid to go back to sleep, because I say, you know what, I'm not going to let that thing, whatever that experience was, keep me from getting me a good night's rest. I'll just say, Jesus, I'll pray, thank you, and I'll go back to sleep. But I've had that, not too often, but I remember I was very young when that happened, and I just feel like there's something trying to get me, but you can't get me, you know, and that's just weird to me. But, yeah, I know what you mean, and it's very real feeling, too.
Thank you, Kim.
Tanya, this is Diane. I've experienced the same thing, and, you know, it's like something's holding me down, and I'm fighting, trying to raise up. And when I can't, you know, in my spirit, I can hear myself. I can actually hear myself in the spirit calling on God, because I can't get up. Something is holding me down. That had happened to me at least 3 times that I can remember. And I don't know what type of spirit it is, but I know it's some type of spirit. And I know it can only be lifted by the Spirit of God. Because that has happened to me one time in twice in 3 months since I've been, and once since I've been in this house. But I don't know what it is, but it's a feeling. It's not a tell. I can still see it vividly, but it wasn't a spirit of fear, but because I knew God had me, because I can hear myself calling on Him, and when it was lifted, I can literally feel something moving away from me, and I just sit up, and I'm like, Kim, nothing's going to take my sleep. I pray and go back to sleep. And it's always praying the 23rd song, and I go right back to sleep, because my sleep is very important to me.
Thank you, Diane.
Now, see, mine was opposite. This is Patty. Mine was opposite, and I woke up in like that, and it took me a while to, it kind of, you know, I was kind of in a state of, like, I didn't want to go to sleep. You know, I didn't want to go back to sleep. But God kept, you know, it's something that He showed me, because I kept saying, what was that about? And what He showed me was, or what He said to me was, is you need to make sure that you cover your dreams, your thoughts, before you go to sleep. That was what He said to me. And so I do that every night, just because, you know, it was, you know, there was a war going on in this house, so I knew that there were all kinds of spirits, you know, running rampant throughout the house. And so, but I was like Diane, you know, it's happened like 3 or 4 times since I've been at this house. It's never happened in my own house, but in this house, my mom's house, it's happened. And it was, you know, I was a little bit, it caught me off guard, so I was a little fearful for a second. I just kind of started trying to remember scripture to quote back, but when I woke up that morning and I had my quiet time, I asked the Lord what that was about.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Me Mary said it's called sleep paralysis. She texted me that it's called sleep paralysis. And I can agree with that in part. There's something else, too, though. There's a spiritually based component to it and what we are describing. So people can absolutely have that experience. But for me, I felt like it was more spiritual warfare than it was anything else. Because the only way for me, mine was not a falling kind of thing. It wasn't falling to something else. Although I have experienced kind of like the falling thing, but that's been a long, 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 long time ago. But this was a suppression. I felt as if I was being suppressed. And I knew instinctively listen to this, I knew instinctively the only thing that I was going to be able to do was to call on the name of Jesus, but I couldn't call, I couldn't say it out loud. In this state, I couldn't say it out loud, and it was important for me, listen to this, to say it out loud. It needed to, and I woke up, or I came out of the state hearing myself saying, Jesus, Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I clearly remember that. I knew that that was my way out instinctively. What that says for me is that my relationship is intact. What that says for me is that somebody needs to mute. I don't want to mute you. Somebody needs to mute you moving around or something. Just check your phones wherever you are. What that says to me is that it is important for us, you guys, to guard our eye gates and our ear gates. Like, I know that people watch, you know, sci-fi and demonic movies, and there is this show that comes on television, and the equipment that I use at the gym, I don't even know the name of the show. I don't want to know the name of the show, but it has something to do with spiritual powers. These guys are like detectives, and they always are coming up on people who are kind of demon-possessed, and they kill people, and they do these crazy things. I'm like, why does it have to be on? I'm telling you, every single time I go there, it's on that channel. Like, that channel projects that, like USA Today or Network, US Network or something like that. But anyway, it is important for us. I'm going to tie in what Patty said as well. It is important for us to be careful what we see, to be careful what we read, because generally what happens is that our minds replay things that we saw or read earlier in the day, in the first portion or at some portion during the time when we're sleeping. So it's important for us. I don't watch any and everything. I purposely do not watch. This is a little off topic, but I'm getting ready to wind it down anyway. I purposely don't watch horror movies, and I purposely don't watch movies or pictures or whatever with films with a demonic undertone or overtone. I purposely don't. It's not so much that I'm afraid, but I understand the power of the enemy, and I will not give him a foothold in my life. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm talking about Tanya, because some people really enjoy horror films. You know, you get a big kick out of it or whatever. I'm not using my adrenaline and stuff for something that's stupid. This is me. I'm not calling you stupid at all. I'm saying for me, that's a waste of my energy, because I'll get all wound up in it and be jumping all over the place, like do some music, get to going, dun, 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 and then Jaws pops out of the water. I can handle Jaws, but as a whole, I'm careful about what I watch, especially before I go to sleep. Now, you want to know what will put me to sleep? When I get ready to go to sleep, I'm a little restless. I'll turn on Charles Stanley, and he will put me to sleep. I never know, not because he's boring, but I go to sleep listening to Word, and I'm making deposits. I'm making deposits in my spiritual man as I drift off to sleep. With that said,
Sister Tanya, this is Juliet.
Yes. Hey, Juliet.
Just to concur what you're saying as far as, you know, watching those movies, I don't watch them either because a lot of people think sometimes what they're seeing is just fun and games. But those things, a lot of things we see, that's real. I've been, even at one time I was asleep, and this is some crazy music that I heard, and it woke me up. I mean, I looked straight up out of my bed because it was something that didn't, resonate with my spirit. It was like, you know, I've done that with the television, the radio, whatever, you know, whether it's music or watching, there are certain elements to me that are satanic, and that's why I don't watch it either. I also had that happen to me where I've been laying down and sleep, and then, you know, I've been suppressed. And like you said, the only way I could get out if I knew, I had to call on the name of Jesus. I tried everything else, and I had to call on his name, and that's the only way I was, like, released from being in that state. So I just wanted to say that, and I just wanted to also reach out to Sister Erica. Erica, I would like to get your phone number, so if you can give me inbox me on Facebook today so I can get your number, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. You guys all have a beautiful day.
Okay, guys, it's 8 o'clock. Please make sure that you call in next Thursday so you can hear why JoJo had such a restless night's sleep and what happened with his dream. Love y'all to life. Have a wonderful day. Go out and let somebody know how thankful you are. Do something special for somebody today. Spread the joy. Love y'all.